You want what?
I won't speak until I'm introduced. Did I already start? Am I speaking?
Jesus.
Introduce the podcast.
Most awkward start to a podcast ever.
Good start.
Go ahead, Bradley.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the About Last Night show. We apologize for two things. One, not having an intro song. Two, not having a podcast last week, but unfortunately, or unfortunately, Adam Ray and I are really big stars now. So we just have a lot of shit
wow.
to do. No.
Fame has already gone to your giant head.
Yeah. Well, we just had some circumstances come up where we were not able to do one last week. But thank you for continuing to subscribe. Thank you for continuing to spread the word about the podcast. And thanks for listening. So we're here. It's myself, Brad Williams, Adam Ray, as always, my co-host.
Hey ho.
And we're actually coming to you from Adam's apartment. And now we have a guest who is a good friend of ours.
Hell of a basketball player.
Hell of a basketball player.
Very good at stuff.
But he's good at a lot of things.
Has that ever been your intro, by the way?
This
next guy's pretty good at everything. He's very good at a lot of stuff.
He's good at stuff. He had a show on MTV last year, and here he is. Jeff Keith, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Disaster Date.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You brought me in Fortnite. That's maybe the worst audition I've ever had in my life.
I got Adam in my audition for that.
Oh, yeah? There you go.
I thought he was a shoe, and then after I go, hey, Adam Cody, he goes, dude, fucking, hey, man. And I was just like, what, Jesus? And I thought he was going to be great. Then he just goes,
well,
I just fucking, I had things I wanted to do and do them, you know?
That's great. But, you know, we're going to go off on a lot of tangents on this episode, but
sure.
Jeff Keith is not only the only person who does a legitimate me, the only person
nice.
Who actually try, because at this point, you figure out how people impersonate you. I don't know if you see people do it for you guys. I feel like at this point, when people go, hey, yeah, I'm Adam Ray, that's what I've heard up until this point. Up until this point, that's what I've heard. And I'm like, oh, it's not very good. Or
that's what everybody thinks of a good impression.
No, but because
KT Tatar has a good impression to me, though.
I welcome on a great impression. Who would not want to hear a great impression of themselves?
Right.
That's such a flattering thing.
I don't know
thing.
What I sound like. Some people.
I don't know what I sound like.
I used to always go like, hey, Jeff, what's going? And I'm just like, hey, yo. And I'm like, is that me? Is that how I talk? And I was like, maybe she's nailing it.
Yeah.
I just don't know I talk like that.
I mean, if I were to do an impression of you, I'd get really baked and then I'd just start complaining about a lot of shit that was out of my control.
Well, that would fucking be pretty good at the
impression. Yeah.
That would
be
it.
Yeah.
Jeff, I guess all of each other, all of us have known each other for a lot of years.
Let me just preface what Disaster Day was, because I feel like I mentioned that without even... Disaster Day that Jeff was a star of was a prank dating show.
People know what it was.
People know me, let's be honest.
But so, I mean, how it was a... You basically would... You were always a shitty... You were just ruining dates. Friends would set their friends up on dates, and you would ruin it.
A hidden camera show. And we do different characters. It was a lot of fun. And, I've been doing a lot since then, too.
Career's going great. Oh, it's awesome.
Hey, man.
Really parlayed that into a lot of stuff.
Yo, but that's how the business goes,
couple
man.
Of seasons, you know. And then I was like, you know what? I'm gonna take a couple years off. I said that. I said, I'm going to take a couple years off.
Did you really?
What? No, I didn't fucking say that. Did you really?
By the way,
Hollywood said that.
Yeah.
We came to mutual agreement that I should do auditions here and there, nothing too fucking fancy. All
right. But you've been doing a lot of road work right now, right?
I was, from what I understand, from what I've been told, I was the highest booked college comedian in the country last year.
Holy
there
shit.
There you go.
But I don't know, though, because there was a couple people that were doing
a
lot.
I saw you driving a fancy Volkswagen out there that I have not seen yet.
Well,
so
I won that at the mall. I filled out the paperwork. It was in the middle of the food court and looking jackpot. That has nothing to do with road work. That has to do with the fucking jet ski I also won at the mall.
Dude,
I was on a
does no one else enter
malls.
This thing at the mall?
They think you just they call your phone and they send you spam, but I just keep winning jet skis and
perfect.
I've nowhere to put it.
Jeff has also, back before he started headlining on his own, he was opening for me for about a year or so, maybe, whenever I had gigs that I could take you on. And,
you've opened for a lot of people, a lot of big people. Not
well,
like saying,
like,
hey,
no, a lot of, no, hey.
I opened for a small person once.
Woo!
Well, I'm saying Brad is a very successful comic.
I'm no Pablo Francisco.
Yeah, Pablo's a great
Or Angela
start.
Johnson.
Okay, and Angela.
Pablo gave you a start. All right, how'd that happen?
Oh, because
you know, I don't even think I know your comedy starts. So why don't you get into that?
Oh well, I first off, amazing new talent.
When you're talented, it's when do you start, really?
Comedy asked you to start.
Yeah, I came out of my mother, and then fucking it just happened. All right. They slapped a tuxedo on me, and I started doing the fucking Borscht Belt for a while.
Wow, good reference.
This guy who was one of Pablo Francisco's managers saw me.
Touched you. Oh, yeah. And then asked you to.
And I didn't move.
Don't tell anybody, yeah.
Always say yes in Hollywood is what I was told. Do you do accents? Yes. Is this okay? I guess so.
Can you talk in an accent while I do this?
Why do you have to keep calm and carry on thing in your house? Did you book that?
No, that's, I don't remember.
Oh, that's just a thing. There's a show called that, and we both went out for it.
We both went out for it. And my buddy booked it, by the way.
Who?
His name's Steve Talley. He played Stifler in American Pie 4 and 5 straight to DVD.
Oh. He's so his career is going great.
It is going great.
Yeah.
No, he's booked the stoner brother.
No, but he's a great actor and a good-looking dude, but he's like always... He also played like the... And there was a Van Wilder movie that was like... He played like the new Van... I mean, he's just
I went out for that too. That guy he's the ass and everything.
Yeah, you guys will go out for similar things. He plays like the good-looking, kind of cool, kind of pretty boy, like Ethan Hawke type... And he's funny. But I saw him at you know what's funny, though, is that I saw him at this audition, and he was like, what is this even? A single cam, multi-cam? Was that even real? Whatever.
And that's the one he booked?
Yeah. And yeah, I was like, I don't know, man. I just fucking got back from an hour of coaching on it and dropped like, what's up? You just fucking walked in there and you just go, oh, cool, man.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but you guys go out for a lot of the same parts, you and Jeff, because you're both
good-looking
late 20s Jews.
I made a note with my buddy.
Which is pretty much the breakdown.
I said, I go, I'm doing this podcast with my buddies, Adam and Brad, and I go, guaranteed, Brad's going to call us both Jews.
Yeah, at some point.
Fucking woo! 6 minutes in.
I'm glad I do not disappoint.
6:51.
All right.
If you're scoring at home.
First double Jew joke.
I don't even, when I talk about Brad, tell people he's a dwarf. But me being Jewish. I don't say he's Christian. I'm like, my buddy Brad. And then they see him, they're like, why do you tell me he's a dwarf? And I'm like, I didn't think it was important. They're like, just telling everyone you're Jewish.
Does that happen if people, they're like, hey man, why didn't you let me, do you ever hear people like, why didn't you let me know? As if you were going to prepare differently for the interaction.
Right, right.
You didn't let me know I was going to have to reach down that far for my handshake. Or like,
it has happened. The best though was when... I had a girlfriend who introduced me to her father for the first time, and he didn't know. So
she should have come on.
Yeah, she should have kind of. She should have prepped that before walking in with me. And this is not an exaggeration. She looks at dad, and says, "Hey, dad, this is my boyfriend Brad." And the dad just looks at me and goes, "Where's the rest of them?" That's line one. You're like, I stick things in your daughter.
Hello.
Like, you don't really know how to follow that up. So that
I
one.
I told him that I fucked his daughter if he said something mean. That's mean.
It is. But I was
that's
very
like fucking, oh, here's my boyfriend. He's Jewish. And he's like, where's your oven? I would have been like, all right. Well,
whoa.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not a nice thing to say.
Right.
Do you get sensitive? And if you guys can, maybe give a little distance on the mic because we're getting a little hot. Do you get sensitive over Holocaust jokes or anything super Jewy related?
Not just, I don't care about Jewish stuff. I don't understand genocide jokes in general. Like, there's like millions of ways to be funny.
Yeah, I know.
And like, I have a story where like this comic.
It also almost makes me want to see them go through it after they make jokes like that without any sort of like.
It's just weird. There's so many things to make jokes about. It's like, oh, I think the Holocaust is the funniest thing I could think of to fucking do material.
Well, those people usually
it's
not.
Like, there's so many other things that are better.
Yeah, those people are usually not intelligent or just think that like, oh, that's like.
It'll be shocking.
Yeah,
it'll
get
a cheap laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a comic a long time ago. I'll tell you this story real quick. Where's like a bar show, Liam's? You ever do Liam's?
Oh, Liam's, right? Liam's Irish Pub in Colton, California.
Rick
Rome's
Room.
Oh my God!
Isn't that great? You know what? Fucking Liam's in Colton, California. Rick Rome's Room. All those three things sound completely made up.
No,
unless you're
Rick
a comedian.
Rome's, dude, Rick Rome's the nicest guy, and that guy he laughs at everything. He's got the best laughs. Like, even if you're bombing in his room, like he'll be laughing, and he's not like faking it. He literally goes like. So it's like
that's his laugh. That's
makes
a perfect
everybody
impression.
Else laugh. It's the best show to do ever. Anyways. So fucking this comic was on stage before me. This is years ago.
Yeah.
And he was doing all these Holocaust jokes, and then all the other comics like knew I was Jewish. So like I didn't say anything. I was just like, whatever, I don't give a shit. Like, I don't like this guy's jokes, whatever.
Fuck.
And then but I didn't say like, oh fuck this guy. And then someone comes up to me and goes like, I think Bruce Jingle or something said like, hey, something like you don't like these jokes? And I just go like, eh, whatever. And I go, and then I walked away. And then the guy comes, gets off stage and comes up to me and goes like, hey, I heard you didn't like my Jewish jokes. And I was like, Jesus. I go, from who? I didn't say anything. And then he goes, no, I heard like you like walked out during my set. And I go, yeah, what? I go, what are you asking me? And he goes, you didn't like my Jewish jokes? And I go, did I think they were funny? No. And I go, and they weren't Jewish jokes. They were Holocaust jokes.
Yeah.
And then right. He goes, he's like, hey, I've done those in front of other Jews, and they think they're funny. And I go, one, I don't give a shit. Two, I don't really believe you. And three, why do I, like, fucking,
yeah.
I don't think they're funny. And then he goes, he kept talking to me, and it got to the point where I go, you're not going to talk me into thinking your jokes are funny.
Right.
Like, even if it wasn't about the Holocaust, you could be like, do you like my shit about couches? I would have been like, no. And yeah. If you keep talking about it, I'm going to like it even less.
You talk about Liam's. Here's a story that happened to me at Liam's Irish Pub in Colton, California. I did a show there, and Rome set the room where he has a headliner, but then he'll still put on people
3,000
after the headliner.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he does that too. Yeah,
yeah, it's like a 5-hour show that you just kind of hang out for the entire time. So I do a show and I'm telling my jokes, and I start talking about going overseas and doing shows for the troops over there. In the audience that night is a guy that saw me in Afghanistan, and who's home. And as a comic, when you see that, like you've done USO shows, that's an unbelievably great feeling when you see the soldier.
Somebody
come
will come
home.
Back to your show. I know.
Yeah, it's great.
Ray doesn't even listen.
But
hey, man, keep talking.
Ray hates America, but Jeff.
I defended America once.
I make a joke to Brad about someone coming back to his show is unbelievable. Fucking Ray's not listening, so I'm the only one that laughs. So then it's just like this weird awkward.
Sure, because I plowed right over it.
I know, Brad just ignores me.
But so I'm doing these, and then once I find out that's the guy that has come back from the military from overseas, I'm going into very pro-USA material, very support the troops, yada, yada. And
you backed off your fucking France is the ideal government shit. What were you doing before that?
Yeah, well,
I threw out the whole Zihaya. Like, I just threw that out.
Listen, guys, Chavez, have you read his stuff?
And the audience is going, like, great, this is a great show. And then the comic that goes on literally after me, I guess, wasn't paying attention to my set.
Like anti-war stuff?
Yes. He goes on stage, and his first thing is, I think we support the troops a little too much.
Whoa.
And, like, just goes in, and the crowd's silent, and they start, like, getting mad at him and, like, yelling at him. And some guys were throwing stuff. I had to go back up on stage and, like, calm him back down before they support the troops
a little too much.
Yeah. I mean, and that was his opener, so I don't expect, like,
Maybe he likes to dig a ditch for himself, you know? But
yeah.
Come out of it.
In what room did he ever play where he went up on stage and said, hey, you know, the troops, I think they get too much support. Killer shit, man!
That doesn't work in too many places.
No. So I'm
the troop stuff.
So I'm just wondering what kind of rooms he's done.
But I'm always curious. I haven't done any USO tour stuff, but is there stuff? Are they pretty much game for whatever? Or
you don't really talk politics.
No.
You don't mention the current president at all, good or bad, really. Yeah. It's just like, they just like, don't talk about that.
Yeah.
You can't talk about rape either, because that's like a big deal in the military, because a lot of our own military rape our own women.
Are you serious?
So like, you can't make a rape joke because it's like a sensitive issue.
As opposed to, you know, back outside the military where rape is just fine.
It's pretty funny. I got a good rape joke that fucking works. It's not a really rape joke, but you've heard it, right?
I think I have.
About the girl that came, said, do you want to hang out after the show? And I said, sure. And then she's like, really, just going to hang out with me? I could be an axe murderer or something. And I'm like, if I go over and hang out with you and you turn out to be an axe murderer, I'm quickly turning into a rapist. It's not really a rape joke. She said something stupid, so I said something stupid.
There you go.
Try explaining that to a student activities board.
Oh, God.
You guys don't know rape jokes. That's why it's a top college comic, everybody. Sometimes they'll censor you and say, hey, don't talk about these kinds of
things. But it's still an escape performance. I mean, even though you're not in a comedy club, like, these people are still wanting to not, like, the same way non-military person would come to a show, like, who's an accountant, they want to escape their fucking 9-to-5 and just, like, they don't want to come and hear you, I mean, you know, tell us to fucking Bill Maher and Lewis Black, but, like, I feel like most people come to a comedy club because they want to just hear lighthearted jokes about shit, not get too deep into stuff, because it's like, hey man, I was fucking slaving over some bullshit all day. I don't want to come and actually think about more of the world's problems, right?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know.
So.
Absolutely, you're right. It is an escapism thing. How's your armpit hair, Adam Ray?
My armpit hair is fine.
Cause I watched Workaholics last week. where our esteemed host over here, Adam Ray, made an appearance and got some armpit hairs ripped out. By, yeah. Is that Blake?
Isn't it fun?
Was it real?
No, they put it in like fake. They might as well have ripped the real. I kept telling them to rip the real shit out, though, and they were like, no, no, dude, that's going to be really painful. We're going to do this like 6 or 7 times. I was like,
why are you telling him to go for it?
I don't know,
Come on, guys. Is this a recurring role? Because you can fucking, you want to just rip my dick off and I'm fucking be on the show?
I'll do whatever it takes, I swear. Whatever it takes.
They're like, no, man, we got stunt hair. You're like, no, fucking, come on.
I don't know, man. I mean, for the sake of comedy, man, I just, you know.
For the sake, it's a fucking hit show. They got money.
You're right.
Yeah, they got prosthetic.
I like, by the way, your idea of like, they got money. They can afford fake armpit hair.
Well, that's your idea. Okay, come on, guys. Save $3.
Yeah, you're right. Dude, have you ever gotten that shit? I mean, I'm sure there would have been, you know, scars and bruises for weeks.
Yeah, you would have screamed a little more like a bitch, probably. Yeah. It might have been a little more authentic.
That would have been fucking awful.
Yeah, and nobody, by the way, would be able to tell the difference. It's like, yeah, dude, they really ripped it out. Oh, really? Well, that was stupid. Yeah. Then you should have just acted like it got ripped out.
Do you ever hear the story about when they did Zoolander, Will Ferrell's character? You know, he had like that super blonde hair.
Right.
And he had it all weird and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So when they did the movie, apparently they bleached his hair and it burned his scalp and everything because they had to do it a couple times.
Right, that's like platinum.
Yeah, they'd do it every day or something like that, right?
So well, that sounds terrible.
Yeah. So then when they were done shooting and they started doing like the premieres and stuff, they wanted the guys to like dress up as their characters. So they just got him a wig that looked exactly the same. And Will Ferrell was like, "Are you fucking kidding me? I could have just worn this wig all movie." Like his scalp was burned from the other shit.
I remember I did a thing on Mind of Mencia one time where I played a supervillain in like some sort of comic book thing, and they shaved a target into my head. Like they cut my hair, like buzzed my head, and then has just my hair looking like a target.
Yeah.
And it's a similar thing after that where they're like, oh yeah, we probably could have just gotten the wig, but this is easier.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah.
Not for me. I got to go out now like this. And I got to have a shaved head now for 2 weeks.
I would love to see you in a wig, by the way.
And everybody sees the top of your head, too. So that's like fucking bullshit.
I know. As a midget, it's like, I need this looking prime. This is good real estate.
Tattoo the bottom
right
of my feet or something.
Yo, yeah. I just pictured you in a fucking ponytail mullet-like wig. Dude. How awesome would you look with fucking just some like, you know, feathered bangs and a mullet? Holy shit.
I know.
A goatee?
I know.
I'm picturing you in 15 years, by the way.
I know a midget with a mullet, and it's a strong mullet. Like,
that's a sentence you don't hear every day, by the way. I know a midget with a mullet, and it's a strong mullet.
I thought I was lucky I knew a midget. Yeah.
You didn't know you could collect the whole set? Like, you didn't know?
Collect the whole set?
There's a bunch of them.
Why would they
have
mullets?
He's this guy.
There's a whole cast of characters.
In addition to having the mullet, he's a biker, and he's, like, customized this motorcycle to where, like, he can ride it.
Which would be his, like, let's talk about that for a minute. Like, what would be your accessory if you were a midget with a mullet? Like, well, I mean, if there's a whole, like you said, like, collect them all. Like,
right,
those midget
little 8-ounce beards. Yes. You know, you ever see those?
Yeah, like when you go on flights and they have like little mini one shots of vodka.
Yeah.
He's just like double fisting those. Like
my fucking girlfriend's dad, my girlfriend's Mexican. Her dad, I swear to God, this guy talks like a Native American Indian chief, and like they're always like drinking. Like he's like a very successful guy, like you know. Mm-hmm. But he just like every time I'm over there, they're drinking. It's like the weekend or something. And he's like, he's got these little beers. Like, hey, Jim, you want a beer? Huh? You want a beer? And I just, like, I'm always like, no, I'm trying not to drink.
Come over, drink them, fire water.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it sounds. And then I go, like, nah, I'm trying not to drink today. And then he goes, like, then he brings out these little beers. And he goes, hey, you want, like, one of the little beers, you know? And I go, yeah, it's fucking still beer, right? And I go, why are they so little? And he goes, you know, if you don't want to, like, get as drunk, I'm like, you're just going to drink that, and then you're just going to drink more of those. It's like the dumbest
dude,
thing ever.
25 little beers is
right.
Better than 3 normal beers.
You just end up looking like you have more of a problem when you look at the trash.
That's a great Native American voice, by the way.
Dude, I try and talk about it on stage. Some audiences get it. Some audiences are like, what the fuck is this guy doing? He literally, I come over and he's like, hey, Jeff, here he comes. One who tells jokes into microphone.
One who tells jokes into microphone.
That's what I hear. He's probably saying what's up, but I hear the fucking Native American chief.
One who tells jokes. One who goes to Denny's after work.
Yeah. Hey, I got a good topic you guys want to talk about. I've been wanting to talk about this for like 2 days.
All right.
Before we go on, I really appreciate you guys. Are we starting? Can I talk?
Yep.
Again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good, please.
if everyone listening wants to go to guyshavenogame.com, guyshavenogame.com, my buddy and I...
It's a real website?
Yeah. My buddy and I made a book, and you can order it for pre-sale right now. I'll give you guys a couple little gems. The book is basically, I got a fan of mine to let me use her pictures, and my buddy got a friend of his, and we set up online dating accounts.
Right.
And we just collected, like, in 2 weeks, we had thousands of guys hitting on us, right? And when some guys are just like, hey, what's up? Like, you're cute, whatever. That's sure. Not funny. But, like, you'd be surprised, like, literally, of the, like, thousands we got, 20% of them are fucking hilarious. Like, for one reason or another, whether it's, like, super creepy, super pathetic, super, like, just very vulgar.
Wait, it's called Guys Have Game?
Motherfucker. guyshavenogame.com. The book is called Guys Have No Game, A Book of First Impressions. Because the thing is, we didn't bait these guys into saying dumb shit. It's not like we pretended to be girls.
Right.
We didn't like catfish them.
Yeah,
just put up these girls, you know, who let us use their thing. And, yeah, so here.
Sounds like a great idea.
Where is the fucking email? I got to
find it. Because, you know what? What percentage of guys do you think, first of all, what do you attribute having game as?
Not being a total fucking weirdo. I'm just going to read you guys. These are a couple. This is from like the one sheet we had when we pitched the book.
All right.
These are the first impressions.
The first messages.
This is like, I'm a guy. I see your profile. Adam, say you're a chick. And this is what I write you to get you to hopefully, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you didn't say like, hey, you guys, whatever. So you didn't write me anything. This is not in the middle of a conversation. This is the first thing they write.
Because, you know, it's not just now meeting social media and everything. It's like you can't, like, the ways of going about meeting people, more often or not, people are just creeping people online and being like, being like, oh, I don't have to fucking meet them at a bar and like actually be charismatic in person.
That's the best part, because I don't think any of these guys would say, I don't think they'd walk up to a girl at a bar and say this shit.
No.
You know what I mean? They definitely wouldn't.
The fact that it's just online, so.
Yeah, so here are a couple.
Yeah, what's some of them?
Here are a couple. This is what these guys write. OMG, you're like a tea kettle pot. You have me screaming. this is the, well, something another guy. This is the first thing they write. This is not like
whatever. Maybe the girl was like
a fucking Mother Goose pickup line.
Exactly. Oh, here's another one. How do I find you? I'll leave right now to pick you up.
Okay, that's like, just fucking, that's Billy Ocean, get out of my dreams, get into my car, rapist style.
Exactly. How about this one? I'll pay to eat you out. This is the first thing these guys write these girls. They write these things thinking the girls will be like, oh, you'll pay to eat me out.
Yeah, but
like,
you know what?
I can use $10.
Why? But there's... but you know what? Then this goes back to the whole, like, guys who are just so blunt and treat women like shit.
There's
a small percentage of women who actually go for that. Versus the giant percentage of men.
What about the guy that wrote this as his pickup line? Boobs! With 6 exclamation points.
Well, if you're not falling for that, you might as well just kill yourself.
What a proof.
Yeah, what does a guy have to do to get your attention without
I mean, you said it yourself. 4 exclamation points?
This is 6.
That 6 exclamation points.
Well, that's a little...
That means he's serious, guys.
What about this?
Come on.
You know you want a sweet, muscular, fun, and well-hung personal trainer to kick it with and get spoiled by smiley face.
Sweet cheese.
He ended it with a smiley face.
Yeah.
So.
This is one of my... Oh, this is not the one, but there's a similar one in the book. Hey, I'm Nick. Can you call or text me? I'm producing a TV show that involves a yacht. I want to know if you want to be a part of it.
Fuck yeah.
Wow.
So some of them are like douchey. This way I said, marry me, fuck the bullshit, LOL, JK. It's just all like the weirdest shit. So
LOL does well. See, and if the guy had put "I want to eat you out," LOL, then maybe,
yeah,
maybe you could actually maybe see that. That's when she goes, okay, well, maybe he's not totally creepy.
But some of them are super weird. This is the thing. We broke the book up into sections, so it's like some of them is like I can't remember all of them, but we have the Hall of Fame, of course, is at the end of the book with like the best ones.
Sure.
Then we have like persistence guys that like will just these are all screenshots, by the way, so you know we're not making them up and just rewriting them in a book.
Right.
So like some of them we have persistence where it's like you just see the guy like every day at the same time. What up, cutie? Hey, what up? Are you ignoring me? What's going on? like they're having their own relationship, right? We have all these, I think 9 or 10 different categories. This one, I think, is one of the Hall of Fame ones. Then I'll just say the website again. We can talk about something else. I don't know if you're into badass, cool guys who are great and fun to hang out with and ride majestic, translucent steeds into the mists of ancient Babylon, jumping off rainbows into waterfalls. Let me know if that cool with you.
Jeff,
how many times has that worked?
It's a decent question. It's just, I don't think he phrased it the way that's going
to
get her.
I need to know who that guy is. I'm kind of into him right now.
Yeah. So that's
wow.
So it's gonna be out in the next couple of weeks, but we're taking pre-orders right now. We're trying to stack the pre-orders. We have a lot so far. It's guyshavenogame.com. It's very easy. This site's just one page right now. They can order the book, whatever. And great. And if they order right now pre-sale, there's no shipping and handling or tax. That's a special pre-order.
Could you make it a book?
Yeah.
Now, yeah. I apologize to do a little cross-promotion, but it's kind of on the same level. I appeared on one of my friend's podcasts last week called The Awkward Apocalypse. And what they had me do was go out into a bar in Hollywood and test pickup lines.
Yeah.
And they had me, like, their fans wrote in stuff, and then I would test the pickup lines. And here's the craziest part. There were basic ones that were just like, hey, you want to go out and get drunk and make bad decisions? That's like the whole Vince Vaughn Wedding Crashers thing. But the ones that got the best reactions were the absolutely insane, like, man, I wish if this was Star Wars, I would be Darth Vader and I would force choke you in bed. Like, stuff like that, because...
No, I'm not a big Star Wars fan, but when did he say that in the movie?
I didn't see the newer ones.
I didn't see the prequels. Now, if you said that to Jar Jar Binks and it ended with death, then I might be able to support that. But it was weird to see how someone would respond to
the... Are there cameras, though, while you're doing this?
No, I just put an iPhone in my shirt pocket and hit record.
Jesus.
So, but it would be amazing to me how some women would respond to the more aggressive pickup lines, because they would look at it as, and maybe it's because of the fact that I'm 4 foot nothing and I'm not threatening, but it's like, oh my God, he like wants to rape me. It's so cute.
Yeah.
Like,
I guess it is cute.
Well, you know,
you
get away with more shit than.
Well, we've all known that for a while.
Remember that show, The Pickup Artist, on VH1?
Yes.
Like, that was I always wanted to watch that show and I never did.
Dude,
it was the best.
This show's the funniest thing ever because
it was a guy who was trying to teach dudes.
But this is what they do. They get these guys who are bad with women, obviously, because for the TV show, so it's good TV. And then they teach them like shit, like how to talk to women, how to whatever. Right. But then they'd like send them on these missions, and it's TV, so it's probably all staged. They go into like these bars. They all fucking are really nervous. It's kind of sad. They strike out with women, and then they go. The guy, like, they come back out. The guy Mystery, who was like the main guy, goes, "I'm so disappointed in all of you. Like, you didn't even kiss close that girl. You didn't open the two set. Like all this shit." He goes, "Watch." He's like, "I'm gonna send Matador in and watch how he does it." Matador's a fucking male model,
right? Who's a beast of a man.
Yeah, like fucking super ripped. He wears like a vest and that's it. And he has like cut arms and like a perfect chest and a beautiful face.
The vest and that's it never works for anybody.
But it's a TV show, so it's all staged anyway. Yeah. But the funniest part is like these nerdy little guys that like, you know, just physically are fucking not good to look at for like... And then he goes, fucking, you guys, all you have to do is what Matador does. Watch Matador, get in there. And then Matador goes in and just fucking gets every chick. And it's like, yeah, he's way better looking. That helps when you say the opening line that you told us to say, you know?
Yeah. And then, he goes in there and says, my dad owns a club.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. Then, like he's saying things like that, and it's working
it's
on the girls in Hollywood.
Such a funny show, dude. They go up to girls and be like, do you see that fight outside? And the girls are like, fight? There was a fight? He's like, crazy. They're fighting over some guy named George. Anyway, so what's up? Like, what's going on?
Dude.
The funniest fucking show I've ever seen. It got canceled. They only did two seasons.
Yeah, it was quite hilarious. And then one of the guys actually ended up being a comic, right? Joe?
Everybody ends up being a fucking
Joe. Yeah.
It was Jimmy and Joey.
I'm forgetting his last name, which sucks. But that was just, you're right, that was a very interesting show. Because basically, what the concept of what he was teaching, because I watched the show as well, was that you don't walk up to a woman and say, I want to fuck you. Like, you walk up and you start a debate
like
or a weird conversation.
Anybody that knows how to do this shit already. It's so funny. It's like, don't act too eager. If the girl that seems into you, like, lean back. Don't, like, beat you in her fucking face. It's like...
Body rock her.
Yeah.
That was literally what
I can do this. Yeah.
Can you remember the first thing the first time you tried to pick up a girl or tried to, like... I guess it really probably just goes back to the first time you actually... was like, I'm not gay, and I'm going to try to talk to girls, right?
Yeah.
Well, you met me without going all the way back.
If I was
like,
an adult, it would be fucking
pathetic
what I did.
Of course.
I think it was Stephanie Gonzalez.
That's what I'm not talking about fifth grade. No,
I was like, hey, so our friends are kind of like there together. You want it? And she's like, no, I don't like you. And I'm like, all right, I'll just ask you tomorrow. We'll see what's going on next week.
Cool. You know, you're probably not in a good mood. It's raining out. You're probably it's affecting your mood. Yeah.
About the 24-hour news cycle. You'll forget about it.
I'll check in with you tomorrow. Dude, that's great.
My first experience was because I was terrible talking to women. Terrible. Seventh grade, the first school dance, I noticed that all the guys that could dance were like dancing with girls. And like the supposed cool kids
were they dancing to, by the way? CNC music fact.
Let's see. I'm in seventh grade, so it's like a lot of Livin' La Vida Loca.
Wow.
It's a lot of that.
All the guys that could dance are getting chicks.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody could dance at my junior high.
No, wow. but like the guys that could.
You want to go to high school where they film Breaking? The pocket of the kids know how to pop lock.
Basically, it was just a set of a bunch of kids serving each other. Yeah. It was awesome. But like I saw that and I said, wow, so that's what I need to do. So I literally went home, watched TRL that day. What's up, Carson Daly? And
let's get him on the podcast.
I remember this. I recorded the
that guy's not real, you know that, right?
What? No, it's just a figment of your imagination.
Dude, kid, Santa's not real. No tooth fairy.
I recorded the Usher video My Way, and I like practiced all those moves. And the next dance, I was awesome. Because you could do like
you practice, you win it, you showed that dance. Now, yes. Did you time?
I just like the idea of you practicing and then showing up to the dance in like fucking white bell bottoms.
You're damn right. It was totally in like an 80s like
montage. How did you know they were going to play that song though? It was that popular that you're like, it's going to happen?
It's going to happen.
You slip the DJ a dollar bill.
That's what you do. You're clever. See, Jeff Keith?
My Way, please.
Now, did you? Because what if it played? What if
Frank Sinatra's My Way? You're like, what the fuck? I said Usher's My Way.
Meanwhile, you're already on the dance floor. Everyone's surrounding you like,
she did it my way.
Yo, man, this is a hot joint special request from Mr. Brad Williams. He wanted this to go out to all the ladies. And now the end is near. Son of a bitch!
Now, what if they play that right off the bat and you walked in
and oh, it was like, oh shit, it's like, too soon.
Too soon. I need to close it up. I need to get the door first.
He's like, what? And then you end up just doing that to the whole fucking song. You're like, immediately just
going. Yeah, that was my first. It was my first part, like, foray into women.
Wow.
How about you, Ray? Well, but see, you were the fat kid.
Yeah.
When'd you get thin, though?
I want to know how fat you are. You and Johnny seventh grade. Talk about
Johnny's pictures.
Johnny has proved it to me.
I've
his pictures.
Yeah, but I mean, the one that he posted, he didn't even look like him. Although, like, there's a couple pictures of me that people say it doesn't look like you. I mean, I was, I think, 170 in the fifth or sixth grade.
Holy shit! That's a big shit. Fucking motherfucker, yeah. Right there.
I have not seen any because
that's a whole lot of human.
Because Ray talks about being fat, yeah. on stage,
160,
but not one
180.
Not one picture of this exists. Like I haven't seen any of this stuff.
I mean, I would not talk about it because there's no, you know, it's definitely a chunk of my life, no pun intended, that was like that was not. I only knew I was a fat kid when people would tease me. Like, I was such a happy-go-lucky kid that it only, like, became
that's
an issue.
Even more sad, because you're, like, a nice fucking happy...
Oh, yeah. It was only an issue when, like, my friends or other people would be, like, would say things about it. Or, like, would, you know, tease you or whatever. And then you're like, oh, yeah, I guess I am fat.
Believe me, dude. It's not easy walking around with abs at that age. Those kids can be vicious.
Oh, Jesus. Jeff Keith. The nicest pair of fucking sit-up pants in the planet.
Yeah,
this motherfucker is probably has a special pair of pants to do his sit-ups in.
Actually, I think the first time you were on TV that I ever saw you were in Pablo Francisco's special.
I had to put my shirt over my head.
Yeah, he just walks out on stage.
That's what he wanted me to do. I was the hooker in the Grand Theft Auto thing. Whoa. He would do like these little sketches. We'd do it on the road all the time, mm-hmm. And it was funny because I'd open for him, and his crowds are so great. And I'd have these great sets for like a half hour. And then I'd do that, like do a couple sketches with him throughout his set. And the last, his closer was me doing that Grand Theft Auto thing when I was with him. And I put my shirt over my head and girls would come up to me and be like, you were so funny, especially when you did that thing with the shirt over your head. I'm like, that's not even a fuck, it's not
must
like a
clean,
funny.
Must have cleaned up.
Huh? Oh, did I clean up? Oh, come on, man.
Well, sure.
Come on.
Yeah. That was like a Bretterist way of describing. You must have clipped that, huh? You clipped it? You clipped that, huh? Cool Cowboys. When I was in fifth grade, even though was a fat kid, here's the thing though, I told this story about when Daryl Wright was on the show about how I was a quick for basketball. I was the tallest kid in sixth grade, right? And then I shot all the time, so I had a great 3-point shot. And then I was thick, but I was quick. I was a quick fat kid. So I would get up and down the court as fast as anybody.
Scariest thing ever.
Dude, it was all right. We played an all-black team in the championship. Had never played an all-black team. So that was already just fucking new and out of the
ordinary. Your uniforms are black is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Once again, sounds like the plot of an 80s
myself,
like, movie.
Myself, a point guard, and maybe one other kid on our team who was like
not
a fucking Tony.
Not the black school.
Dude, it was exactly like that. And they had their whole all their black fans. It was like literally just fucking as culturally diverse as you get for a sixth grader. In Lake Forest Park, Washington.
Yeah, I'd say black and be politically correct. The colored team, go ahead.
So
I'm fucking that's
Jeff Keith who said that.
Yo, I'm spin moving around there. Their best player was about as tall as I was. I'm lighting it up from 3-point range when they'd give me room because I started like taking them to the hole a lot. And then at one point, I fucking banked in a three, and then they stole the ball and on a give and go, and I'm doing some up and under crazy shit. Running back down the court, I said this on the last podcast, and one of the dads who was like coach, but also the dad that was way into it more than the actual coach, as I'm running down the court, goes, "Man, that fat motherfucker's killing us." And I like, it was the only time I think I didn't get offended because I knew that that was a compliment. And I also, hearing him scream, any parent screaming like, "Hey, that guy, like, he's, you know."
How old are you?
This is sixth grade.
That's so great.
So, but anyway.
Was that about a sixth grade?
Oh, yeah. And of course.
Motherfuckers kill him.
And then some of the parents who were like, you know, well, like you could hear some of them muttering, like, "That's very nice," or whatever. Yeah. But they were also like, "Yeah, he is fucking fat and he is killing you guys."
But apparently Jay Leno was in your audience that night.
Oh, hey, give him a break, give him a break. Oh, you thought me, but apparently fat white kid will destroy African Americans on the basketball court. You hear
You do a Jay Leno, too. You're the only other comic I know that does one.
I used to do Jay Leno telling dirty jokes. I used to preface it by saying I wrote these jokes.
I tried to do that once on stage.
I had three jokes that I wrote.
It's an easy.
It's a way to do like the jokes that I didn't want to say in my act.
Sure. Of course.
So I would do them. I go, "I wrote these for Jay Leno, but the night just said they're too blue."
Yeah.
I go, "So I'll do them for you guys. And I'll do them the way I wish Jay." I don't even like, remember. One of them was I used to keep milking the beginning because like how Jay Leno would go like, "Don't you think that's hard about this?" I kept saying Eubanks, even though he wasn't even on the Tonight Show. And I go,
Kevin. I would always say Kevin.
I go, Cosmopolitan Magazine, Cosmopolitan Magazine. You guys heard of Cosmopolitan Magazine?
You heard of Cosmopolitan.
I would like do that for like fucking a minute, and people would finally start laughing. And then I'd go, "You got a new survey out that said the man should ask the woman, what's the fucking joke? The man should ask the woman what she likes in the bedroom or something." And I go, I said some fucking, I can't remember the joke. Something about like.
And the show is grounded to a complete halt.
What the fuck is that joke?
But it was some. It was
something about like, "Listen, fella, it's not easy to ask what she wants." It's something about fucking rape, dude. It was something
rape. Oh, jeez. Oh, and he pulled the... Yada, yada, yada,
I don't remember it. One of them was, I do remember this one.
But do that as Jay Leno, though. And then women want to ask, "Well, man, what do you want in the bedroom?" And men always say...
I said something like, it's kind of like...
It's something about rape. Anyway, we'll be right back. Forrest Whitaker is
here. I said something like, "It's kind of hard." I go, "It's kind of hard to ask the woman what she wants during a rape." That's what I said. And then the other one was about...
How did that go over?
Some people loved it, and then one school complained, and I was like,
"What school? You were doing Jay Leno jokes at a college."
Jay Leno tells rape jokes.
Yeah, you guys watch the Tonight Show, right? They're like, "Whoa."
No, I warmed them up with this one because they're college kids. It was when Twilight like just came out or something. So I was like, "Oh, it's gonna be Twilight. Now a lot of ladies like Robert Pattinson. A lot of young girls like Robert Pattinson." And I go, "I didn't understand it. I finally saw the movie. I get it. He's a vampire." I go, "Now I get why the ladies like Robert Pattinson. He's a good-looking guy. He doesn't want to have sex. He just wants to eat her."
There you go.
Like a pussy-eating joke.
There you go. Nothing like a pussy-eating joke in college.
Yeah.
That works.
It's the whole movie. It's about vampires just pretending they don't have AIDS. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Now, with all these college gigs that you've done recently, has there been, like, the hell gigs where they just stick you in a cafeteria somewhere?
Yeah, if I showed up to any college and I saw one poster that said, "From MTV's Disaster Date," like, that show was always good. It was always like, if the show sat 400, there were 400
kids. Well, because you're like, they took the time to look at something I did that will help the kids.
The kids on campus would go, "Oh, yeah, that show."
Yes.
I don't know Jeff Keith exactly, but maybe. And then they see me and go, "That's the guy." Or they would know me. Then the kids were in a good mood. If the room that they put me in sat 50, there'd be fucking 50, 55 people in there and they're excited. Right. If I showed up on campus and it was like, "Comedy night." That show fucking sucked every time.
Just comedy night.
It's the weirdest 14 kids in a fucking 30,000 person school that were like, "I'm going to comedy night." Like, what the fuck is comedy night?
Yeah. Seven of them like always wanted to try and then come up to you afterwards and just like.
So do we all get to do comedy tonight?
Yeah. Right. If you got because I mean, there's things about there's levels of stand up comedy and certain things that we have to do on the road and colleges
just cut off the podcast right there and cut through another portion of Brad crying in an alley.
No,
there's some things you have to do on the road.
Oh my god! How do you think I got certain gigs? But like, people don't realize that you make more money doing college gigs, like per show, but the actual gigs, like colleges are a lot of time not designed for comedy.
Hit or miss.
Yeah.
Hit or miss. Yeah. It depends on how they promote it. If they, I'm telling you, if there was one sign that said Disaster Day, Jeff Keith from MTV's Disaster Day, that show was 9 times out of 10 a good show. What, no matter what room it was in.
And what is now? What is that show? What needs to be a good show for you? Just having a cool. Not, like, would you rather have great crowd? Nine
kids that don't know what the fuck's going on, and then you have to like.
Would you rather have great venue or great audience?
Great audience. Because yeah, I'll play any venue. It's so funny when I show up to like some show now. They're like, "Hey, we're really sorry, but like whatever." And I'm like, "This is, believe me, this is fine."
So like, it's just gonna be 200 kids, but the and we're gonna have to bring in chairs from outside for them to sit in. You're like.
Great show at Coastal Carolina. I remember that show because they had me all these beautiful buildings on campus. Everything's
Coastal
like,
Carolina. Is that a James Taylor song? Turn into a comedy venue?
It's in South Carolina. But I did the show. All these beautiful buildings where I'm sure they had great auditoriums and whatever. Theaters, everything. Hmm. They put me out on the deck outside of the cafeteria, which is like the worst place for a show. Yeah. It starts off my show. It's light outside. Then it gets dark and the lights come on. But it was a great show. Like, the kids were really into it. So I'd rather have a good audience.
Then. Yeah, absolutely.
Let me tell you guys about something. I think you guys will be into this, okay?
Right. Oh, yeah, but you made it. Coastal Carolina.
Jeff Keith, everybody.
This is what I think you guys need to do. Have you guys noticed, is it just me, that there should be a Twitter, like, Black Twitter is different than fucking every other Twitter. I'm talking about my friends here. Fucking Black comedian friends of mine.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're my friends. I like them. I follow them. They're funny people. They can't do a fucking comedy show, a stand-up show, without tweeting 3 times a night how hard they crushed. It's fucking like, this is like just killed it on stage over at the whatever club. Then it's fucking 20 minutes later. Getting some post-show grub after I fucking murdered at the fucking club. Wow, then they're going to bed. Hitting the sack. The log out, everybody. Just murder tonight. Gonna do it all again tomorrow. It's like, fucking, how many times did you kill at this show? And they retweet every compliment. Which I did that, by the way, for like a week or two. Because I thought that's what you're supposed to do when I was like kind of new to Twitter. I'm like, oh, do you do this? Do people like that? And then I saw other people do it. And I'm like, this is fucking obnoxious.
Yes, it's very obnoxious. And it's very sporadic for me, so I do it every time it happens because it doesn't happen. So,
he never gets complimented.
So. But it doesn't happen all the time. Hey, but when workaholics happened, I was like, fucking retweet.
Well, retweet, yeah. Like, retweet, like, Adam and those guys that they talk about, right? If they're like, did Divine say, like, oh, my buddy Adam Ray is going to be on?
Yeah, or something like that. Or just people that watch the show. Then they end up, like, looking you up, or they, you know, they just know I would post something about it, so then they would watch it, and, you know.
I like, if someone ever has, like, a funny compliment, though. Like, I can't think of any examples right now, but, like, I'm constantly looking at my Twitter for people that say, yeah, I saw the show, it was funny, but, and then they come in with a little punchline. I'll retweet that.
Dude, Black comics will talk about other people crushing, too. It's not only about them. They'll be like, my boy, so-and-so, just fucking murdering it tonight, right now, on stage. It's just like, there's never a tweet like, fucking wasn't my crowd tonight, everybody. I kind of ate shit. I mean, I've had better shows. Well, you know, like, there's never
that tweet. Do you ever tweet out if you have a bad set?
No, I don't tweet when I don't ever tweet. I crush it either. I'll tweet like really fun show. Like if it's like, if I had a really good show, I'll tweet, see, like, great crowd.
But that's the way to do it, dude. I always do that.
Yeah. I say great crowd tonight.
A lot of fun tonight, and hey, man, and that's a respectful way to do it.
That's like, the white man's. I crushed it.
A lot of fun, respect, great audience.
Yeah, but great you put audience, it on, again, man. You setup. Put it on them, but you know what? You put it on them, and it is them anyway. It's all good.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, Scotty.
You know what else I had recently, which is funny? I worked. This was like a while ago, but I worked with a Black comic, really funny guy, and he's a nice guy. And he.
I love that you. I mean, he probably is. No, but he probably is a funny and nice guy. But it's the same way that like. You got me in the mindset of thinking like the way that before you blast somebody when you're like, oh, he's a great guy, he's got a good heart, he means well, he means well, but he's fucking, I wouldn't trust him with my kids.
This is funny too, though. Like, this guy tweeted something about me doing really well on stage, like something like at Jeff Keith or whatever, like really handled.
Just saw this motherfucker perform for the first time.
Really handled that audience or whatever, and then so he's like giving me props, and then at the end of the tweet, as did I. It's like, he's like, I got to give this guy props, but I can't end without giving myself a fucking props. I need some fucking props in my own tweet. It's like, there's like an urge. And I'm just being honest. I have a lot of Black friends. I have a lot of white friends. I have all types of friends. I notice it out of all my Black friends on Twitter way more.
No, it's,
crush every show.
It's a keen observation, man.
Yeah.
You guys just aren't even going to talk about this? Like, I'm the only one that knows.
Well, because no, I've chosen not to have black friends.
Yeah. That doesn't
mean I'm not friendly with anybody. That's not true. You know a couple, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're called to help. No, friends. I'm kidding. Yeah, I have one.
Said, I'm
black friend.
There's one thing I want to talk about. There's one thing I want to talk about. Oh, The Bachelor. That's what I want to talk about.
Really, Adam Ray?
No, because my dad, he every now and then he'll text me weird stuff, like, hey, watching American Idol, funny singer on, turn it on. Or like, you know, because he watches a lot too.
Funny singer on?
Yeah. Like, or like awful. So he's like, Bachelor just rode off into the sunset on elephants. Check it out. And so I check out the next day, and we start talking about it. And it really was like that show is why the expectations for us are set so fucking high, man. That's well, like,
sure, because their first date is a helicopter ride over a volcano.
And five dates in, you're riding on fucking endangered species in a foreign country. 5 dates in for most dudes is, hey, I got Pirates of the Caribbean 2 on demand tonight, and I got a coupon for fucking Outback. Like, you want to go? And I'm like, no. So now, dude, first of all, 5 dates in, if he does make it with this girl, I was like, you're going to have to, like, propose to her on the moon or, like, do something so great. And now she's also conditioned to think.
Cum glitter or something.
By the way, I saw Cum Glitter last night at the Troubadour.
They're incredible, awesome dude. They played all their hits.
What? Oh, that's motherfuckers. I've had an interview.
We do that a lot. Anything that sounds like it could be a band.
Sure, why not?
Cum Glitter, definitely.
Absolutely. But,
her expectations
are now for friends, you know, she's like, and now this girl's girlfriends for those guys are now fucked because now she's going to be like, well, you know, like, I'm not saying I need to go to the moon, but like, but like Brad took Kelly, and like, that's, I'm not saying you need to do that, but like, think about like the idea that you would want to take me there and like, let me know you tried, like put in a little, like.
That's the thing with women though too, is like, if you do something like amazing, and then if you do it again, they'll get sick of it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if say you were you had tons of money, and you were just like, I'm going to fly you to Rome. You know, I'm going to fly you to Rome this weekend. You go to Rome. She's like, this is the best, right? Mm-hmm. Then, like, you do it, like, 3 weekends in a row. She's like, fucking, we're going to fucking Rome again? Yeah.
He's not creative at all.
We're going to Rome again.
He doesn't know me. He doesn't understand me.
It's like, all he wants to do is take me to Rome and take me to this fucking nice museum and shit. It's like, does he even care about maybe Sing Nebraska? Or
All I want to do is just, like, watch an old on-demand Pirates of the Caribbean 2 in his apartment with a fucking coupon. I get that's it. All
the
I
Eiffel
want.
The tower is gorgeous. And you know what? That's also...
You got to keep it fucking fresh.
Yeah. How about Juno? You don't think I want to go to Juno? Yeah.
You're also bored with me? Somebody else isn't.
But there's something to be said about, like, the creative proposal. Like, guys, dude, like, that's one area that I always, when I hear about guys, I'm like, how'd you, like, a buddy of mine even, like, hey, when you got married, how'd you do it? You know, we went to this restaurant we went to on the first date, and I asked her. I'm like, fucking idiot.
She showed me the test, so I said okay.
But it's like, that is
dad,
so, like.
Dad came out, 2 pumps in the shotgun, I was in.
Or the guys, or the dude on the Jumbotron that are just, basically being like, hey, look. It should be like it definitely should be a verbal thing, unless you're deaf. Probably you don't want to, like, unless you're deaf and you're at, like, if it's like, you know, you want to admit, like, that's not, that doesn't sound romantic unless she's deaf too and then she can't hear you say that,
right?
But I don't know, like the
that'd be funny if you got a guy that's like, that does cheap braille, and she just, like, reads the card, and it's like, will you martyr me? And you're like, what the fuck?
Definitely not.
It's funny you brought this up, and I kind of hinted at this a couple podcasts ago, and I didn't really get into the story, but...
I wish you had a sound effect right now that went, boom, boom, podcast callback! Woo!
I like this random cat that's here, by the way, is like involved in the podcast.
Oh, yeah, Milo.
Fine, Brad.
You're not allergic. Sorry. Hey... 3/4 in, you're not allergic.
I am allergic to cats, but I had like 4 cats growing up. My mom was like, "Baby, you're allergic. It's bad. We're getting another kitty.
We'll force you out of it."
I had cats all growing up. It's fine.
I'm allergic to the stare. Like, you know, every time I
can't touch a cat,
I know he's a harmless creature, but every time I make eye contact with him, I feel like he's being like, "Yeah, which party would I eat first if you died in your sleep?"
Yeah, cats are definitely always scheming.
Yeah, always scheming, dude.
They're like, I know a panther and a lion.
Dogs are like, how was your day? You need to rub your back? How about I just lay on you for a little bit and watch
fucking TV
with you?
Dogs are like special ed kids. I love dogs.
Dogs
are like special ed kids. No matter what, they still like you.
You hit them, they're just like, hey, what was that? Oh, no, you probably like me. You got that fucking ball, man?
Yeah, you got that ball.
Don't hit me again, but you got that fucking ball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What about the thing with the squeaky in? What are you going to do with the squeaky? Yeah, I got to get that fucking squeaky out.
By the way, don't be mad. I peed in the kitchen.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I didn't know what to do.
I feel like every dog just puts
every
out.
Dog, every dog is fucking, who is that? Every dog is fucking, who are you being right now? That's the fucking... What actor is that?
And then cats are.
So I feel like every actor, every dog and cat have like one voice. Like,
I was doing that earlier today with my buddy. My buddy did.
But who? What actor does that? Like, oh, fucking listen, they just go.
The guy, whatever does the bacon strips commercial. That
it's bacon. Yeah. Or Christopher Lloyd. Maybe every dog is Christopher Lloyd.
You guys did that to my buddy earlier. That I did the.
How would that sound, Adam Ray? If a dog was Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, you're home. Thank God. I shit in a bowl again. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it was my buddy that I did the book with. I'm like, yeah, man, I'm going to do Adam Ray and Brad Williams' podcast. I'm going to pump the book, you know, because I'm doing these other podcasts. And
yeah,
I'm
you're going on a fucking full media tour.
There
you
guys go. Guyshavenogame.com, right? Funny book. Anyways. So,
all right, one plug a podcast.
Yeah. Oh, he said I could plug it more than once, but you guys got it on the same page. I guess then
my buddy, you got my email about Jeff's fudge?
My buddy goes like this. He's all down because he has like a fucking, he's got a good like corporate job. And he's just like, dude, like he's all like beat to shit because he works long hours. And he goes, I really hope he makes some money on this. I go, look, man, I'm not the type of guy to fucking, you know, count his chicken before they hatch, dude. And I don't like to get excited about things, but we're going to be so fucking rich, dude. And I just kept saying that. And he was just like laughing. I was high earlier. I didn't know my man.
He got prepared.
We'll have to have you on again, and you and I are going to have to get back.
What do you guys do?
I haven't smoked in almost a month now again, but Brad and I did a podcast up in Seattle. I hadn't smoked in 3 months, which is the longest I've probably gone in 10 years.
Yeah.
And then I got really baked, and we did the podcast, and I was all over the place. And there was a lot of really funny shit. There was about 40% of the 100% of the podcast that I said that was fucking great.
Yeah.
And then my computer fucked up, and we lost it. But
no, that stinks.
Yeah, that so we're just having to get him really high again and recreate the experience.
Yeah, we'll have you on, because I remember I smoked with Jeff once at his place, and he had some weed.
That shit is so fun.
Yo, you were like, this is kind of, there was an, I don't know what it was called, but dude, it was like, I was as high as I'd ever been. It was one of those drives home where I was like, dude, can I press pause on this video game right now and fucking?
And you know what's funny? Dude? I never smoked weed when like I never bought weed from like a street dealer. I only started smoking like a couple years ago when it became like you can go to the dispensary and get a thing. And so I don't know what shitty weed is like. So I've only ever gotten like the dispensary weed, which is so much better. And I don't know, but if I ever like smoke somebody out every now and then, they're always like, what the fuck was that shit we just smoked? I'm like, the shit I always smoke. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I remember, Jeff, the first time I ever got high was with you.
Oh, yeah. You want me to tell this story? It's funny.
Please. Yeah.
I always get offered weed. It doesn't even happen anymore.
After shows.
Because I have, like, droopy eyes. Like, naturally, I got kind of, like, lazy. I look like a stoner, right? And I never used to smoke weed. But, like, 3 times in my career, people have come up to me after shows and been, like, really funny, man. Like, when people are shaking your hand on the way out. And they just put, there was, like, a joint in their hand. And one of the times I was with Brad. Yep. So, well, you want me to just tell the story the way I say it on stage?
Yeah, go for it.
So anyways, guys, take your seats now.
It's
2 drink minimum. So fucking, I was with Brad, and we're in the middle of nowhere, and then I was like, we had nothing to do, so I go like, hey, let's smoke it. You know? Or Brad, I didn't use to like, hey, let's smoke it.
Yeah, usually how most conversations start before people get high.
Yeah.
Maybe we should smoke
it. Yeah. You know, it's kind of risky, too. You don't know what some guy's handing you.
Of course.
So I didn't smoke weed at the time, and Brad didn't smoke weed. So, like, we're both bad at getting high. And I tell this whole story about how, like, I talk about how Brad's a dwarf, and, you know, he's got a big head for his body, right?
Let me just say real quick, there's kind of an unspoken trust between people who smoke pot. Because the fact that you just took it from a stranger, why wouldn't you even assume that that's laced with something that's going to give you a heart
attack? That's why I never did it before, but we were in the middle of nowhere. Brad goes like, hey, fuck it.
Dude, that's what happened. I was in San Fran, and I got pot off a guy from Craigslist and fucking smoked it. That was real.
You're so trusting.
The guy showed up, ended up coming to the comedy show the next night, but, like, the phone call should not have giving you any reason that this guy was not going to... Anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyways, I tell the audience how, like, my buddy Brad is a dwarf, and I go, you just need to know for the story, and I talk about how he's got, like, you know, like the big head. He doesn't have the... By the way, he doesn't have the Wee Man head, which everybody mistakes him for Wee Man, right? You guys are different types of dwarf.
Yeah, he's got a much bigger head than you do.
Exactly. Wee Man does?
Yeah.
He does?
No. He got a smaller head. He's just fatter.
Yeah. We don't look alike, but everybody thinks
he's
the same.
You're in shape.
Yeah.
Thank
so,
you.
So, yeah, I talk about how, like, I was leaning forward. I tell the audience how, like, you know, Brad's my friend. I don't fucking go, like, oh, my God, it's a midget. You know, like, when I'm with him, because I just think, like, I'm with Brad. Like, I'm not sitting around, like, constantly fucking weirded out that I'm with Brad, right? A lot of people are because they don't know dwarves. Mm. So, I say how, like, I wasn't looking at him. He's in his the passenger seat, and I'm in the driver's seat. And I was leaning forward, and I guess the blood was rushing to my forehead. And I just go, dude, Brad, does it feel like your head's getting bigger? What the fuck? And I really thought that, like, our bodies were shrinking and our heads were getting bigger because I forgot that he was a dwarf.
So he looks over and goes, what's happening to you, Brad?
Yeah. And I start checking myself in the mirror. And then later on, this is the funny part, we just sat in the car forever because we were not used to getting high.
Right.
So we're sitting in the car for like, I don't know, like an hour or two or whatever. And Brad's trying to get some chick over to his hotel room. And
shocking.
Yeah. So she's on speakerphone and I hear Brad go, like, she's talking to the girl and he's like, come on, you know, just come over. And she was like, Brad, I'm sorry, I can't. I got to wake up at 5 a.m. And I was like super high. And I go, 5 a.m, dude, not even the sun wakes up. At 5 a.m.
Wow, great line.
And I tell this whole thing to Brad about, I go, the son's still in bed and it's sleeping, and the son's mom comes in and kicks open the door and she's like, you gotta wake up, son. You gotta heat the earth.
That's
right?
How high it is.
Yeah. And Brad,
you
like,
gotta heat the earth.
Yeah. And then the son's all pissed off, like a little kid. He's like, 15 more minutes. Mom like pulls the sheets over him. And then so Brad's like, it's fucking not that funny. Like, it's funny to you because you know what it's like to be high. But like, Brad's losing his shit laughing. Like,
I thought it was the greatest bit ever.
Well, no, yeah. And because you know how baked he is.
Yeah. Mm. Well, he was really high, right?
Yes.
So then Brad goes, dude, he stops laughing and goes, you got to write that down. You got to write that down. And I'm like, what? What? Is that a bit? That's a bit? That's like a joke? And he goes, you got to write it down. So I don't know what you guys do. I like text myself ideas, or now like email myself ideas.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll just try it out on stage. I don't like sit with a notebook all day.
Yeah.
So I opened my phone, and all I typed myself was, who are the son's parents? Just like one question that I thought encompassed everything.
I mean, it's a great question.
Yeah. So then there's the thing. This is like,
God, that'll make it. Jesus.
Yeah, I had a little flip phone, a little singular flip phone. So, you know, like, you send yourself a text, it takes like 5 seconds to show up. I send myself the text, who are the son's parents? I forget I texted myself. I start talking to Brad again. Then my phone goes, I get like a text. I go, hold on, dude, I got a text. Somebody texting me. And I open my phone. I go, who are the son's parents? Brad, who the fuck is texting me this weird bullshit? And then we both tried to figure out. And then Brad goes, I don't know. And I'm like, it says it's from me. And then we were trying to figure out.
You what? It says it's from me.
We forgot in like 7 seconds everything. That's how amateur we were at smoking weed.
Yeah. Wow.
That
was the first time?
For me, it was.
It was one of the first times I smoked weed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't, I mean,
it might have been
same
one
way,
of the very first time.
The same way that you're 2-beer Brad, you're probably one puff blowing your face, Brad, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Just, I'm a cheap everything. It works out.
It does work out.
Save me some money.
What's your go-to snack when you get high?
You know what's funny about me? Sometimes I'll concentrate and I'll go like walk to the. I have a 24-hour grocery store across the street and I'll just walk to the store and get healthy shit. I'll get chicken breast and like, carrots.
Hey, sometimes that sounds delicious.
Yeah, and then it's like it's not
nice,
bad.
A nice low-fat meatloaf.
Yeah, and then sometimes I just go crazy. You know what else I thought of on that same trip? I think, and I told Brad, and he still hasn't done it. And I think it's the most genius idea ever. Fucking midget marketing. Midget marketing, because I was like, Brad. I go, dwarves get looked at more than hot chicks. Like, hot chicks, people always go, oh, right. Like chicks.
That's
but
a great
people,
premise.
People see dwarves less often than they see hot chicks, right? Unless you live in some town where there's no hot chicks. But there's definitely, like, probably no dwarves there. So I said, why don't you fucking just, you know, wear a t-shirt every day, especially when we're like, going to malls and shit, and be like, hey, thanks for staring. Go check out, you know, and then put your website on the back. And then, like, Brad just laughs about it and he's like, oh, that's a funny bit. And in my head, I was like, I got to figure out a way to mobilize midgets all over the country to wear JeffKeith.com shirt. So everyone's like, what's this JeffKeith.com? And then, like, I have a picture of a dwarf and be like, hey, and it'll be me. And I'll be like, you saw one of my midgets, huh? Like, check out my comedy. And they're like, this guy's a fucking genius. I just don't know how to regulate these fucking midgets.
I totally forgot about that idea. That's a pretty damn good idea.
I already patented it, so.
All right.
But the point is, how do you... You probably know a lot of dwarves, man, because you go to those conventions.
I can make some calls.
Dude, I need to know that they're walking around with... If I send them free shirts, will they walk around with a shirt?
Who doesn't love free shirts?
But would they wear it? Or they'd be like, I don't want to fucking whore for this guy.
I think you could do it.
He's only paying me in Reese's Pieces. That's bullshit.
that you could say that, like, I vouched for you. Like, that's cool. I know Brad.
Do that.
Yeah. That's a genius idea, and I think we're going to get on that, Jeff Keith.
You've got a book. You've got a shirt.
I do have a book, guyshavenogame.com.
And,
pre-order, no tax.
That's
or
your last
handling.
Plug.
And where can
that's
people find
last
you on Twitter?
Plug for guyshavenogame.com. The book.
It's the last time you can plug guyshavenogame.com.
Where's my Twitter? It's my name, at Jeff Keith. But Jeff also looks like Geoff. Geoffkeith.
Interesting choice, going with the G.
Yeah, it wasn't mine, Adam. My parents did that. Everybody says that. Why did you spell your name like that? I'm like, that was never the fucking naming of me process.
Well, Jeff, you're a very funny comic. If people have the opportunity to see you live, they should absolutely go do that.
Yeah, man. You only have there's so many comics, obviously, in this business, and we're friends with a lot of people. But I think everybody has a small number of people of their friends that they actually like to watch them do stand-up.
Sure.
And you're definitely on my list. But I've told you that.
Thanks, man.
Make me laugh.
I have a very long list.
It sucks. You guys
are not on it.
Fair enough. This podcast is definitely not airing, by the way.
Joking around about the every time game.com sponsor joke.
We're going to do beeps every time that comes. Yeah. What? Guys at .com? No, yeah,
it's,
exactly.
It's going to be plugged in with, my name is Jeff Keith, and I am a dipshit.
.com.
Yeah. So that's it's going to get a ton of hits.
Adam Ray, where can people find you?
At Adam Ray Comedy, AdamRayTV.com. I added quite a few tour dates coming up. And,
cool.
A handful of them with Bradley Williams.
Darn right.
Denver, Kansas City, New York, Seattle. Oh, and the Heat has a premiere date finally in New York. I'm going to be out there for it.
The Heat, your movie?
Yeah.
I'm so excited not every time June. I see the trailer.
Oh, thanks, man.
I tell everybody about it. My girlfriend, when I took her to Identity Thief because she thought that was the movie you're in, she's like, I thought this was the movie your buddy's in. And I go, no. I keep sending Jason Bateman letters, but he's just not
He's not responding.
And there was another
I keep asking for basketball fees. Jason Bateman's not getting back to me.
And then when 21 and Over came out, I was like, oh, my buddy Dustin's in this because Dustin Ibarra's in it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Very funny.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's hilarious. So he's in it. And then so she's like, oh, I want to go see that movie your friend's in. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll go see that movie. I want to see it. Support Dustin, you know? And then she goes, this is the one with Sandra Bullock, right? And I go, what the fuck are you talking about? I go, are you talking about Adam's movie? And I go, it's not out yet.
So that
comes out in June.
You should have told her I was an identity thief. And then the whole time, be like, here's a scene. And then when it doesn't, like, you're just like, I can't. We got to get the fuck out of here.
They cut him out.
Cut him out. Son of a bitch. BradWilliamsComedy.com. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad. Got a lot of stand-up dates coming up with Adam Ray.
Yeah.
And I've been putting off this story now for like 4 podcasts, but I promise I will tell a story about how a guy actually proposed to his girlfriend on stage at one of my shows recently.
Wow.
So I'll tell it
now or next
podcast? No, it's a teaser.
That's a teaser, and also
how you can make $1 million from home.
All right. And we got stories about April Foolishness coming up.
Oh, yeah, because that'll be – that's next week.
2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, that's the show I'm doing with K-Rock with Bill Burr, Jay Moore, Doug Benson, Rob Delaney, Ari Shaffir. Adam Ray and I will be backstage at that show. We'll be trying to talk to people and get them to come on our podcast.
It'd be great if we had enough balls to podcast backstage, but that's just a bad idea.
Yeah, we'll go and seduce them with cookies and good-looking dwarf ass and promises of promises of meeting Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening. Once again, please spread the word. Tell your friends. For Jeff Keith, Adam Ray, I'm Brad Williams. It's been About Last Night. Please try to remember our names in the morning.
Yeah, we say that every time.
That was good. That was a good rehearsal, guys. Let's fucking take this.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.